Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. It's season recap time. We've made it through the season 4 forest and now find ourselves upon a clearing wherein we can reflect upon these episodes and bask in what makes them so fabulous. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Sui. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Sui.
Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's super producer. Ours is named Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod.
Just so you know, kids is spelled with a Z. Stoop Kids is spelled with a Z.
Deep cut. No episode details, no narrative overview or like synopsis to run through, no fine folks who made this episode possible. Outside ourselves, of course, because it's a season recap. If you've listened to season recaps of old that we've done, you kind of know the drill by now, but we've got some categories that we use to, playfully, but also very seriously run through our fondest memories about the season that we just finished recording on for Hey Arnold. And in this case, it is season 4. And the first category that we have here is, it's our favorite one-off characters. So our favorite instances of characters that are, you know, they made the run on the show and they weren't necessarily side character status. They maybe don't pop up again the rest of the season or the entire series, but their presence was made very memorable. And with that, I will hand it off to Harry for your picks for that. Harry, what were some of your favorite one-off characters from season 4?
Thanks, Cody. I've got three of them. My number three pick, I guess these are kind of in a vague order, is Monkey Man. This kind of doubles as a stealth shout out to our good friend and guest, Seth Zarati, who was on our episode about Monkey Man. I remember Monkey Man being kind of a forgettable episode, if I'm being honest, especially compared to things like Pigeon Man or some of the other really heavy hitters. I went into that episode kind of expecting it to be like a rehash in the way that some of the other season 4 episodes have kind of been rehashes. But we ended up having like a really, really great conversation about that episode with Seth, about superheroes and about like being who you want to be. And I found that to be like one of the most enriching conversations in terms of sort of like reevaluating an episode of all year. And it really did elevate Monkey Man himself, to me as well. I think that he's a really funny character. I really love that, where the show ends up with him in this sort of like very non-judgmental space about letting him sort of be who he wants to be, even if that does not fit society's definition of what a whole person would look like. And I love his, Willy Wonka getup. In the second act, he looks slamming, you know. So, Monkey Man. My number two is Mitzi, Mitzi Shortman. In fact, if you will, if you go by that canon, as played by Phyllis Diller. I looked this up. Mitzi, unfortunately, only appears in one episode. She is, of course, Grandpa's sister. I really loved her particularly because I felt like it was a really fresh approach to a Grandpa episode. Grandpa has many nemesis that we've
Nemesopodies, please.
Nemesopodies, thank you, that we've encountered throughout the show. But like usually they fit a particular mold where they're this sort of like toxic dude who brings out the worst in Grandpa, and they have this sort of rivalry usually over something particular. Mitzi is a much better foil for Grandpa than that, I thought. I really love that she is just as sort of like clever and devious and funny as he is, but sort of like in inverse. And I love that she really puts him in his place and thwarts his plans. And she has like a really lovely relationship with Arnold that ends up being really heartwarming. So that's another episode I really like, and I really liked Mitzi in it. And my number one is, of course, Dr. Bliss. I think that like returning to Helga on the couch was fun for obviously a lot of reasons, but I thought it was really funny the way they characterized Dr. Bliss as like maybe the first real adult we've seen in Hey Arnold. I think we talked about that on the episode, but like especially in the first act, the way they contrast her with not only the kids but also the adults like Mr. Simmons and Principal Wartz, and how they're terrified of her because they think she possesses some sort of like piercing otherworldly insight because of her profession into their psyches, when in fact it's just sort of like a call for people of all shapes and sizes and ages going to therapy, right? So I really love that as a message, and I really love that Dr. Bliss is like so clearly just a fully developed adult woman, and how funny it is that that contrasts four seasons in with virtually everybody else, and what that says sort of about the necessity of self-reflection and therapy in the sort of journey towards maturity. So Dr. Bliss, great character, great voice. Really love that character. Emily, I'll call on you next. Who are your favorite one-off characters, or maybe like semi one-off characters in season four?
Yeah. While we're talking about Dr. Bliss, definitely Dr. Bliss. yeah, I liked what you said. She's just such a sweet character and such a realistic and awesome psychologist, child psychologist, therapist, and the type of adult that Helga needs in her life. And I love all the really sweet moments between them in therapy, just when they're, you know, jumping rope, or when Dr. Bliss lets Helga reverse the roles of therapist and the person in therapy?
Patient?
The patient, right. She has those roles reversed so that Helga can feel a little more comfortable and get to know her a little better before she kind of, delves into her soul. Also just lets her play darts and kind of shoot the shit a little bit in that office. And gives her the hug at the end, which is just so, so precious of a moment, in the episode, but also for like the whole series, just like a huge, huge episode that we love so much. And probably the most important one of the series, as we've talked about. Another character I really liked, one-off character, was Big Gino, from the episode Big Gino. I think he's really funny. I like his crew of the Sopranos-y guys, or mobster guys. And yeah, I like that he had the Tootsie Roll pop that's like, doubles as a cigarette or cigar. He's got the little gray suit on. He's got the whole desk set up in like the underground bunker with his dudes, his right hand men, and he's just great at chatting with Arnold and Gerald and figuring stuff out and getting people into trouble, I guess. But he's a wisecracker and a fun one-off. I think I just had a nice time watching that episode with y'all. And then my other one-off character I wanted to mention is, I don't think she has a name, but I just really liked the newscaster in Dino Checks Out, which we just watched recently, so it's fresh on my mind. And I was looking at that episode again. Also, I want to call out for for starters, I deeply regret not talking about the Paula's Dead conspiracy and how that like directly relates to the Dino Checks Out episode. They even reference Sergeant Pepper and like body doubles, imposters. All of that is like, I would have loved to have talked about it on the episode, but anywho, Dino fakes his own death, and the newscaster that opens that episode, I just thought was, really funny and also kind of a realistic adult character. And when I was watching it back, she made a lot of goofy expressions as she's like really performing the story and she does a lot of like big wide-eyed takes, and I took some screenshots of it, but I don't think she has a name, so just newscaster in Dino Checks Out. Shout outs to her. And Cody, how about you? What were your favorite one-offs of season four?
Sure. Thanks, Emily. And I guess for anybody who's listening who is not maybe fully aware of like the Paul is Dead conspiracy, I think modern day equivalent is like maybe the Avril Lavigne conspiracy theory, unless somebody can think of a better and or different one. That's a thing, right? People think Avril Lavigne got like swapped out by somebody.
But also what I learned recently is that the Paul is Dead conspiracy is still going. It's still happening. There's still believers and still people that like upload clues regularly and talk about it on forums, and so it's wild. It's probably, I think, the music industry's biggest conspiracy, and definitely up there, maybe top five music industry conspiracies. And I just think I wish we had talked about it on the Dino episode, because it's so in parallel with that.
Much to consider. Maybe we'll do, you know, a spin-off podcast where we investigate celebrity swap conspiracy theory things. That could be fun, or counterpoint, maybe not. We'll see. Anything is possible in the year 2023. But as for my one-off characters, I guess disclaimer for me, the ordering that I have for these, I don't necessarily rank them. I just go by rough, at the point at which we see in like episode production code order, which is an order that's very familiar to this podcast. So don't read too much into the fact that the cat from Oscar Can't Read is my first pick for this category. Even though the cat is a great character, it is, you know, on top of the cat, you know, pet the kitty, pet, 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 on top of that cat being a pretty perfect representative vessel for Oscar's first, you know, his first real victory, his first dub, as they say, in recorded history, as he learns to read and works his way, as he works his way across town. It's also a pretty, I think, brilliantly animated character. I mean, it's like a cat, but if you've seen that episode, you remember, like, I saw that cat again, and it was just this big rush. Like, wow, I remember seeing that cat in the episode Oscar Can't Read. Even if I couldn't remember the particular ebbs and flows of that episode, I definitely remembered the cat. And it's a really memorable design. And it above all else, and most importantly, it reinforces just a really good, comforting vibe. And for somebody like Oscar, he definitely needs it as he's struggling to read a map and find his way back home. So I wanted to shout out the cat. And I tried to avoid duplicates of characters and episodes and picks that my co-hosts have as much as possible. This was one of two cases where it was unavoidable, because Dr. Bliss is an amazing character and a character unlike any that we've seen on the show up to this point, which is to say an actual competent, fully fledged adult, a responsible, a grown-up person. And seeing her work her magic in Helga on the Couch, she's almost fourth wall breaking in how she gets to the crux of Helga and really, really kind of breaks her down. But she's just that good at being, somebody who taps into the psychology of youth, and she's indispensable to that episode. And so I needed to shout out Dr. Bliss. Great character, you know, one off side character or otherwise, Dr. Bliss is phenomenal. Those are our favorite one off characters. And I will hand off this next category to Harry.
Thank you, Cody. For our next category, we have the best urban legend and or side character for season four, which is always a particularly fun one. Emily, do you want to start us off?
Yes, sir. I guess I didn't really put mine in order so much, but favorite side character / urban legend is Arnie, Arnold's weird cousin. He's such a memorable character. As that he is very strange and out there, and no one can quite understand how to grapple with him or deal with him, or you know. I guess I don't know what else to say about him. He's got the cool hat on. He's got the spinny rainbow. I cannot think of words.
Pinwheel?
I'm so tired, man. Pinwheel hat.
To be fair, I think the hat is called basically exactly what you called it. With the propeller spinny thing on it.
I don't think that there is a formal title for that. Right. That's a good point. It's sort of whatever you want it to be called.
Yeah, that vocab word missed me. But he's also kind of an urban legend as well. And the whole arc of him dating Lila and then falling out with her at the end and falling for Helga in a way that Helga hated, and is like, get the heck away from me, you weird cousin. I just thought it was funny. And I think, so I feel like he's kind of both an urban legend and a side character in that way. Also really like Jamie O, who we saw falling in love in this season. If I'm remembering correctly, I should have written down the episode.
I think it's called Jamie O in Love, literally.
Jamie O in Love.
So there you
go. Yeah, so he's cooking up a storm in the kitchen there, and he's all over town and all of that. He's like a funny guy who falls a bit too hard and too fast for someone who was wrong for him. And I think we're going to see him again in season 5 at least one more time. So shout outs to Jamie O. And then also shout out to Big Patty, who was pretty much the star of the episode where her and Rhonda are in finishing school. Polishing Rhonda, I believe that episode was called. And Patty is like such a champ of finishing school. She's crushing it. And she's really patient and everything with Rhonda, who does not understand how to meet the mark and how to be polite and courteous to her peers. But yeah, I now kick it to Cody, I believe.
Yeah, and I have received your pass and I've stopped it with my foot. I think we've done this in previous recaps. Soccer references, everybody. But great picks, Emily. I've got some favorite urban legendy. Well, these are all side characters. I've got side characters filling up this category, and they all, spoilers, have an appearance in the episode Helga on the Couch, among other episodes. But hey, go figure. That's an episode we'll be talking a lot about. Again, spoilers. Don't scrub it too far. But my first pick for this category is Principal Wartz. You, I think, can really feel in season 4 that whenever Principal Wartz shows up, that the series itself is really hitting its stride with regards to utilizing Wartz. In Full Moon, he's a stern authority presence, but also like with kind of like with a dash of bumbling. I don't know. He's stern but bumbling. We'll go with that. But he is an authority figure, and he's the right amount of threatening to where, you know, you need the intimidation factor. You need the balancing act of intimidation, but also you don't want to forget that this is an episode about children showing their bare rear ends to adult figures. And I think Principal Wartz, they nailed that balance with him. And moving, you know, using that momentum forward in Helga on the Couch, Wartz, especially paired alongside Dr. Bliss, you know, relative to her, he's an utter buffoon. Again, that sort of bumbling authority figure who tries to be stern, as the show, you know, asserts all adults are stupid except for Dr. Bliss, who is very competent and very smart. But that was just a really nice slice of life sort of glimpse at the character Principal Wartz. I really liked how he was used this season. My second pick, Olga Pataky, for those who are uninitiated, Olga, for her appearances in specifically Student Teacher and Helga on the Couch. Having Olga return in, or I guess not return, but you know, she comes back. She didn't really go anywhere. She comes back in Student Teacher, and she's the same old inadvertently antagonistic contrasting force opposite Helga, you know, not necessarily by the sheer fact that Olga exists, and she was on this planet first. She's Helga's older sister. And so there's a lot of unfortunate trickle down that plays into not just Helga's existence, but the entire show. And that, you know, that episode comes to sort of a brutal but necessary ending, but then Olga comes back and Helga on the Couch. And it is that sort of haunting thing that Helga was afraid of, where we're just going through the same rhythms again. Maybe Olga didn't come away with the right lessons. Helga's back in, you know, a hellish existence. And just again, seeing how that plagues Helga, it's really important to the cadence of the show. And so Olga is my second pick for those and many other reasons. Great character all around. And I had a lot of fun with Miriam this season. She's my third pick for this category. We get a lot of varied glimpses of Miriam. Last season was her on the road with Helga, but this season she, you know, getting to see her in Beeper Queen when she's hyper competent. And there are flashes of her being, you know, a good mother in that episode. But seeing her learn some, you know, very necessary appropriate lessons was really good to see. And then sort of the pivot from that, seeing her be an utter show in Helga on the Couch, and giving her child shaving cream for lunch is just an all-time low. It's absurd. But it really made me laugh because I was in disbelief. But a regrettable shout out to those if you've ever gotten shaving cream in your lunch due to a neglectful parent. I'm very sorry for that. But those are my picks. The three characters, through good times and bad, they were presences that I really enjoyed having on the show. And in that vein, Harry, which side characters and or urban legends fit that bill for you?
Thanks, Cody. I also had all side characters, which is an interesting data point. Maybe it's because one-off character kind of eats urban legend's lunch when the urban legend in question is like a character, like in Monkey Man's case. But my three favorite side characters were Mr. Green, well-established side character, very much not a one-off, but he had a great episode here. Mr. Green runs when he ends up running for mayor of Hillwood, or at least his neighborhood, and he wins because he learns to make his butchery into a metaphor for his elective prowess, which is really funny. I love his mad as hell and not going to take it anymore speech right at the beginning. I love that, as we talked about with Hannah, spoilers, we'll talk about that conversation in a minute or two here, but his ultimate approach to victory is kind of can kind of be deconstructed, right? Like it's supposed to be so triumphant, and it's supposed to be like the good guy's winning, but in fact he sort of like debases himself to doing the same thing that his opponent is doing to do that in the first place. So I thought that was really funny. Oscar, my boy Oscar, surprising to see him on this list given how much heat he tends to take on this podcast, but listen, he had two big W's, as Cody pointed out, this season. He learned to read, and he took care of baby Oscar. And he was the only funny part of Summer Love, which is a sort of secondary consideration, but, you know, kind of its own dub in its own way. But yeah, shout outs to Oscar. We love it when a man learns to read. It's never too late, you know, and hilarious voice by Steve Vixton. So shout outs. And then, of course, my last side character, you got to give it up for Dino on his swan song. I don't think we see him again. Has been one of the best characters, I think, of the side characters of the series, right up there with like Coach Wittenberg or Mr. Green or like Harvey the Mailman, really just sort of Mickey Kaline. We've had some real great side characters, and Dino has really been a constant there. And Dino Checks Out is a really wild and great episode, I think. So those are my three. It's always hard to narrow it down because there are so many great side characters, but I'm sticking to them for season four. What's our next category, Emily?
Well, our next category is most surprising episode of season four, which you could take to mean whatever you want, basically. You could take it to mean most surprising episode as is, most surprising discussion maybe, something in the episode that was surprising to you. Cody, what was surprising in season four for you?
Man, what wasn't surprising? The question I want to answer, I'll more directly answer Emily's question of the episodes that were most surprising for me and my picks for this one. First off, we have student teacher. Hey, speak of the devil. Student teacher, an episode I really liked, and I was surprised at how affected I was by Helga and Olga's relationship. It's grown to be one of my favorite kind of points of discourse to latch onto and discuss in this series. Even on episodes that are only tangentially related to Helga, I feel myself thinking about, you know, how her family life, specifically how her relationship with her sister feeds into a lot of her behavior. And I didn't necessarily expect, you know, that episode to cast such a wide net as far as, you know, its influence is concerned. So Student Teacher was surprising to me in that way. My next pick is Love and Cheese, sort of maybe an unconventional pick, but I was surprised, or I guess what surprised me was how blatantly it ripped off Operation Ruthless. I think getting back into this episode, starting it out, I remember thinking like, oh yeah, it kind of draws from Operation Ruthless. It's sort of like it's, like a spiritual successor in some ways, but no, it just like, the story is blatantly ripped off. I mean, obviously it's the same team of, you know, writers and producers and things like that. And this episode wouldn't even be that bad on its own, but the fact that Operation Ruthless exists means this is just, you know, by comparison, it's no contest, because Operation Ruthless is great. And it's also a better version of that story. I didn't expect it to be such, an extreme verbatim carbon copy. So that's Love and Cheese. And then Veterans Day is my last pick for this category. Even now, I find it hard to believe how bizarre that episode was and how unusually patriotic it was, how weird of a choice it was for a double length episode, and just the thought of seeing not just Nazis but also Hitler specifically, even though it's an episode about how Grandpa gave the Third Reich diarrhea or whatever, just seeing Hitler on Hey Arnold is just a bad vibe that I don't want, and I cannot believe that episode went there, but it did, and we've made it out the other end. Much like diarrhea. Harry, I'll pivot to you for your picks for this category. What surprised you this season?
I like this hater energy that you're bringing to most surprising episode, Cody. I think that it's warranted in some ways. I think season four was a weird season, lots of ups and downs. But similarly, I have mixed opinions on each of the episodes in my most surprising episode pick. My first one is Helga's Masquerade and Mr. Green Runs. Both of these episodes are pretty surprising. I wanted to focus a little bit more on Helga's Masquerade because that felt like one of the most mature culminations of Helga's sort of arc this season. It was the one that maybe most masterfully used the sort of discomfort or claustrophobia that season four sort of establishes, right? Like, I think season four, one of the like micro themes we talked about is that it seems like a show that's almost like frustrated with its own limitations, right? And it kind of wants to push itself, and that has created some very fascinating tensions. I think those kind of culminate in Helga's Masquerade when Helga starts doing things that are like a little bit over the line in terms of like really upsetting and antisocial, right? The way we talked about with Hannah again. And I really love and was surprised by the resolution she comes to at the end of that episode, right? Like, I think that Helga learning that she wants Arnold to like her for who she is one of the more momentous revelations she has in the entire series. And so I was really excited to see that. So that is an outstanding episode that I found surprising. Not so for episode number two on my list, which is Summer Love. Don't need to say a lot about this one. I don't remember it being as offensive as it turned out to be, or as just sort of ill-fitting for what Hey Arnold is as a show and a premise and a concept, particularly the fact that they went back to the well of the deceitful woman for like the third or fourth time in the series, maybe the second or third time in the season, and also just like literal racial caricatures, which is not a thing that I ever want in Hey Arnold, a show that was so far ahead of its time in so many ways about that. Same for body positivity with the weird jokes about grandma being disgusting to look upon. So yeah, that was a surprising episode in that it was a weird hateful energy and a weird horny energy that I didn't need in my Hey Arnold. So surprising, not in a great way. And then I guess this is sort of a neutral surprise, if we want to call it that. But my last surprising episode is Dino Checks Out, just because I think of all of the episodes, that is the episode that is like least like a conventional Hey Arnold episode. It's an episode I really liked, and I really, really liked our conversation about it. But it is a funny episode in the sense that it's like, oh, like Do you what you guys want to watch an episode about a over the hill crooner sort of like looking back upon his life with regret and sort of coming to some very hard won resolutions about what his life didn't and did mean and whether or not it was worth it, sort of like in his twilight years? And it's like, yes, I do very much want to watch that. It sounds like an Oscar winning movie, right? But it doesn't particularly sound like an episode of Hey Arnold. But hey, that just shows to Goya the sort of range that Hey Arnold has. Those are my three most surprising episodes. Emily, what were your most surprising episodes and why, I guess?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought Dino Checks Out again. Dino Checks Out up again, because I think I'm just going to take this episode to be my redemption of what I wanted to say, what I wish I'd said on that episode for just a second. I was thinking about it too when I pulled the graphics for it this week, that part of why I think it's such a strange episode for the series, like you're talking about, Harry, is because a lot of the cuts seem to be, or not cuts, a lot of the episode seems to, how do I put this, be based around like the most straightforward, fastest, and simplest animation. It's a lot of like, just, we're just on the newscast for a whole like 4 or 5 minutes, and then we're just on Dino at the mic, like just standing there for super long. So I think it almost, now that I have looked back at it again and was kind of rewatching, I just wanted to say that I think there might be something to my half cooked thought there. As far as surprising episodes though, I thought Monkey Man was really surprising. Insofar as I remember Monkey Man, the phrase, and the character, like him just shouting, Monkey Man. But I didn't remember his whole character arc and what all happens in it. And I think it was just a good discussion with Seth about that type of vigilante character turned superhero. And I definitely did not remember it being that type of story. So revisiting it and talking about it with Seth was surprising and fun. And I also thought Helga's Parrot was surprising in that it was pretty dark and sinister, especially towards the end, where it's almost like a little mini, a villain type of ending with the Komodo dragon or the monitor lizard or what have you at the end, eating the parrot in front of like all the students in class. And then it just like kind of cutting to black with Helga being like, "Mwahaha, my evil lizard and plan has worked." So such a strange ending. And a lot is said in the episode that it was surprising, especially for a kids show. And yeah, I think that was another one we had talked about was aged up quite a bit for where the characters are at, that they're supposed to be still in fourth grade. So surprising in a lot of ways. And then also I thought Oscar Can't Read was surprising because Oscar Kokoschka is a character who is so hard to like, so hard for me not to be really, really frustrated with him every time he's on screen. But he has such a big dub, as you guys are saying in this episode. He has a huge win. He gets to meet the cutest kitty. He gets to read the kitty's story. He gets to, pretend to read Tale of Two Cities and wears the newspaper hat. He goes all over town, figures out how to read, like follows the maps. It's like a huge moment of growth for him, and actually found myself, you know, cheering for a character that I otherwise can't stand. So surprising in that way, and just a great episode discussion with Allegra. And now I will kick it to you, Cody, for the next category.
thank you for the kick. And it should be noted, if you're just joining us, this is the season four recap, season four retrospective, the in memoriam, however you want to think of it. Probably not that last one. That gets a little sad. But we're just, you know, we're kicking back, reflecting upon the season that was. And the next category that we'll use to kind of, you know, funnel those thoughts is one called Best Episode Discussions. So our favorite chats with ourselves and perhaps guests as well. And I just want to say up top, there's usually a lot of guest representation in this category because our guests enhance the conversations a whole lot. So I did just want to, you know, give a thankful shout out to those who are on episodes this season. Whether you have representation in this category or not, just know that we loved having all of our guests on and we're extremely thankful, that they were here and that they wanted to talk about Hey Arnold with us, because not everybody does. With that, Harry, I will throw it to you first. For your picks, what were your favorite episode discussions from season four?
All right. Thank you. I already alluded to this one. I didn't remember that this was also in this list. Otherwise, I maybe wouldn't have talked about it as much. But hey, look, we're all human. We're doing this live, right? Third most, I guess, if you want to like rank them, best episode discussion was Monkey Man and Buses, Bikes, and Subways with Seth. I think that like, that's such a really good example of like, I think that we could have had a good conversation about these two episodes without a guest, right? Like, I think that as always, like the three of us would have had a really fun conversation and I really would have enjoyed it. But, including Seth in that really elevated it for me. I think that he brought a lot of thoughts, and considerations that we never would have found otherwise, like about psychology and about the psychology of superheroes even and the psychology of outcasts and sort of sort of psychological self-actualization for your own self versus what society wants from you. And then we also got to do a really fun one with Buses, Bikes, and Subways. And I completely forgot that was based on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And Cody and Seth both got me pretty good for that. I can't remember if that was live or if that was on the episode or later. But either way, I remember that being quite funny. So thanks for that, guys. And number two was Helga's Masquerade and Mr. Green Runs. No surprise there, I guess. Hannah Borenstein has been on twice now, and she's an amazing guest. She's super smart. She literally wrote the article on Hey Arnold and its sort of like relationship to millennial activism and politics. So I think that like even more so than the first episode we had her on, which she also absolutely crushed, I like just really felt like we hit our stride on that one. And like both of the conversations we had with her were like really awesome. And like we ended the night and I felt like so jazzed about it. And I was like, God, I love this podcast. I love having guests on. Like, I learned so much from them and from my friends. And like, it's so fun to like experience this, right? And it's so enriching. So that was huge for me. And then number one, maybe sort of almost a cop out, a little nepotiz for sure, but Helga on the Couch with my sister Charlie on the podcast. Helga on the Couch is like maybe the episode I most wanted to talk about, just because like I think that much like Parents Day or much like something like Pigeon Man or other episodes like that, the show lives in the shadow of this episode, even when we're not talking about it. And it was like talking about some of the earlier episodes with one of my arms tied behind my back, just because we hadn't already talked about Helga on the Couch. But like Helga on the Couch in terms of like, the kids are going to be all right, in terms of like, you shouldn't be afraid of or ashamed of your feelings or where those feelings come from. They are legitimate. They come from somewhere real. They aren't leading you toward like, or they aren't evidence that you're a bad person. All of these like really important themes that were really near and dear to Craig Bartlett's heart, obviously, when he was making a show about quote unquote tools to give kids to navigate what it feels like to be kids and to grow up. So nice to finally have that one under our belt. It feels like the thesis statement of Hey Arnold. And so like, I sort of almost breathed a sigh of relief when that conversation was over, because it was like, that was the one that I was sort of like really nervous about. And I feel like we did a pretty good job again with much help from Charlie. So those are my big three, I think. Emily, what are your top episode discussions?
Yeah, this was a tough one. And I had all the same ones as you, Harry. So I'll just go through those quick and then say the ones that weren't on your list, and call those out. We had so many awesome guests this season and really helped us, I think, get through especially a lot of the weirder episodes of the season, and just like learn a lot more as you go. And you learn so much from guests and it's so fun to have them on. But yeah, Helga on the Couch with Charlie Mackin was really, really great. It's just such a phenomenal episode. And I knew she was really excited about talking on that episode and had like dibsed it way in advance. So hearing her thoughts on it and her thoughts on Dr. Bliss as a character and Helga's whole arc, how that all comes together was awesome. And just hearing everyone's input on why that episode is so special was just really good. A little nepotiz for sure, though. Also, Helga's Masquerade of Mr. Green runs with Hannah Borenstein, definitely also in the Hannah Borenstein fan club here, Party of Three. And yeah, that episode was a blast. I think we got to talk about a lot of different things just with Helga's character on the first half, and then like the political shenanigans and fun of Mr. Green running for city councilman. And like the, I'm going to forget his name, but there was a actor cameo that was his running mate, or not running mate, his opponent, in the election. And yeah, just a super fun episode. So it'll be great to have, Charlie and Hannah back next season two, fingers crossed. And also, Monkey Man Buses, Bikes, and Subways with Seth Zerati. Another just really fun episode. And yeah, like Harry, you were saying, Seth is so good at talking about superhero psychology and vigilantes and all of that. I think Seth knows a lot about superhero movies in the canon of a lot of the big ones. So it was just cool to hear his thoughts on that. And then with Buses, Bikes, and Subways, we kind of got to call out Helga's bad behavior a bit more than we sometimes get the chance to on the pod, I think. I like that one. It's a good episode all around. But apart from the ones that you all just said, and I repeated, Harry, I really also liked Back to School and Egg Story with Dylan Gerber. And first time having him on the podcast and hope to have him back. It was just like, Back to School with Grandpa going to PS118 and joining all the kids was like so cool to watch, and an episode I hadn't remembered watching as a kid, just in snippets maybe. So seeing that, and obviously Grandpa's like one of the best characters, my favorite character in the show. So very cool to see him interacting with as a student with all the other students, and like tagging the side of the garbage can outside of the school and just running around with his leather jacket and everything, being a bad boy, ditching class and all of that, was so much fun to talk about. And then I wanted to shout out also the Beeper Queen and Oscar Can't Read with Allegra Frank. It was just like a really great discussion. And I hope we can have her back on in season five as well. Talking about Miriam Pataki's journey from girl boss to you know, more neglectful of the mother to all of that happens, and then Oscar's big redemption story. That was a great chat too. And Cody, what about you? What were your favorite episode discussions or best episode discussions?
Sure. Well, tied for first is all of them. But if I had to split hairs and pick my favorite children, you know, as it were, I guess first and foremost, spoilers, but no little nepotiz on my list. No Helga on the Couch in this particular category. That will get its due later on, believe you me, from one and or more and or all of us. But yeah, some of my favorite discussions from this year. Actually, the coming hot off the heels of Emily shouting out the Beeper Queen and Oscar Can't Read, that is my first pick for this category. Allegra Frank was a really stellar person to add on. It is unfortunate that the devil came up from beneath the earth and demanded that we trade one Allegra Frank for one Harry Mackin for that episode.
It's a pretty good trade, to be fair. Pretty good trade.
We kind of swallowed our concerns at the time, but in retrospect, it's still, it feels a little sour. We made the best of it. I think given the parts that were there, it was a really good time that we had with Miriam, aka the Beeper Queen, spending time with, I guess, Helga and her mother, and pondering the relationship Helga has with her mother and vice versa, the relationship that Miriam has with Helga, and us coming together and just gauging all of our reactions about, how it feels to see Helga and Miriam kind of resolve their conflicts separately and then come together at the end and just say hey, we figured it out. We got over this. That was just a really nice, moment. I think from a discussion standpoint, one of, kind of my favorite points of the season. And then us coming together with Oscar Can't Read, it was a good group to vent about Oscar. And then, when he has one of his few unimpeachably redeemable dubs, of his life, more than likely, it was really nice to talk about that, with them. So that's my first pick. Second pick, bringing back Love and Cheese and Wang Harold, and that was an episode we did with Drew Tenenbaum, who's always great to have on the show. And I think this season, more than any other season so far, I've gained an extreme appreciation for us coming together and talking about episodes that maybe weren't all that great, and sort of having the group sesh of critiquing, and even if it, even just the armchair director sessions, us going through talking about Love and Cheese, talking about why a carbon copy of a previous episode is not, it hits different, in a bad way. The fact that Love and Cheese is Operation Ruthless's less charming younger brother, there's something therapeutic about that. And similarly, but differently therapeutic, talking about Wang Harold. It's an episode with not a great sensibility, but I think ultimately we got to a pretty good place with it. Again, the fact that Drew is our guest for those episodes, he always brings a really nice sense of levity to the discussion, as well as really intelligent points. And I think that was, the right mix for that particular episode. And then my last pick for this category is Weird Cousin and Baby Oscar, which, we had Dan Nagin on the show, who always brings it, whatever it is for the, that is necessary for that particular episode and discussion. Obviously us coming together and roasting. Wow, I'm roasting Oscar in two of my three picks for this category. That's kind of funny. But Baby Oscar being the B episode for that, I think we, kind of similarly to Oscar Can't Read, or even some of the less satisfying episodes, talking about the things that frustrated us and then coming together and talking about the things that really kind of came through for us and satisfied us. That was a really nice discussion. But Weird Cousin, us all going to the extremes that we did, to kind of characterize what Arnie as a character does and doesn't represent. It was a ton of fun. I mean, some of the most fun that I've ever had on mic. And just the fact that we were, I was able to, bring up things like how character perspective might factor into an episode, like Weird Cousin on a show like Hey Arnold. And then the fact that Dan didn't agree made for a really great time. Dan's great. We'll have him back next season. But those were, I think, all in all, those were, for, again, a wide variety of different reasons, those were some of my favorite discussions from season four. And we'll move on to the next category, which you have, Harry. What do we got here?
Yeah, thanks, Cody. One more shout out to favorite episode discussion. It's always the hardest category because our guests rock so hard. So thanks again to all of our guests, and to you guys as well. I think that I have so much fun with this one, and it's super fun to like go back. Like, I can't believe I didn't include Weird Cousin and Baby Oscar, but I'm sure I didn't because I saw it was on your list. But like, I still laugh about that episode all the time, you know? Our next category, though, is favorite character moments, which is a very broad category. It can mean almost anything you want it to mean. What does it mean, and what did it mean to you, Emily?
Well, thanks for asking. Thanks for that handoff, Harry. Just literally tossed me the microphone there across town. I've mentioned two of these already, which, shoot, I guess I kind
Nothing
of
wrong with that.
Shot myself in the foot there. But one of my favorite moments was Oscar reading Pet the Kitty, and Oscar can't read. As Cody, you have mentioned how adorable that character of the kitty is. It's got the giant eyes. It's real gray, and he just happens upon the kitty when he's lost in the middle of town. And it's so great to have him like be enthusiastic and passionately reading and going into his newfound. What am I looking for? Oh my God, I can't read my own thoughts in this episode. He's great. He learns how to read. It's a huge deal. So reading Pet the Kitty in particular, which they made be an extra funny children's story in the episode, you just really get a kick out of that. I also had mentioned this already, shucks, but Grandpa spray painting the PS-118 dumpster outside of school when he's being the bad boy and has the leather jacket on and he's hanging with Connie and Maria. And he has to run from the cops because they see him tagging the dumpster. And what does he write? Steely Phil was
Steely
here
Phil,
in yellow,
hell yeah.
In bright yellow spray paint. It's just so awesome. Gramp is the best. And yeah, I'd love another episode of him doing similar shenanigans. Maybe we'll get to that in season 5. And then I'd say my top character moment of the season, I wrote it in the notes as cowboy fellas swimming. Specifically, that is the synchronized swimming team that Coach Wittenberg helps secure the championship, get the glory. They beat Tish's team of the girls that are synchronized swimming. They have all of those amazing outfits on with the cowboy hat, 10-gallon cowboy hats. They've got like the belts around their swim trunks and the boots, and they storm out of there like just confident and knowing what they're doing, and also like in their feelings after getting the whole Coach Wittenberg coaching session on comeback Wayne. And yeah, it's just a wonderful, wonderful moment. I think it was so much fun to watch it, and an episode I'd forgotten about in the series. So like that one just coming up in the queue and being able to laugh with y'all about it was so much fun. So yeah, shout out to the cowboy fellas swimming. Cody, what were your favorite character moments of the season?
Yeah, really excellent picks, Emily. My three picks for best character moments of season 4. My first one is, I put it down as Grandpa going full Happy Gilmore in Grudge Match. And so we talked a lot about Happy Gilmore this season, just that episode. And though this is a season, or rather was a season filled with a lot of all-time Grandpa performances, basically everything I said about Principal Wartz, you know, really hitting his stride as a character in season 4. Season 4 goes at least tenfold for Grandpa. I particularly enjoyed Grudge Match and his equal parts sensible and nonsensical golf success, where he's just saying little rhymes, you know, like rub a dub dub, time to swing the club, and he, you know, beats Big Bob at his own game. Grandpa getting under Big Bob's skin. For as much as I kind of begrudgingly love Big Bob, not even begrudgingly, unabashedly love Big Bob as a character, seeing Grandpa get under his skin is just so satisfying. So Grandpa going full Happy Gilmore was a favorite character moment for me this season. Next on the list, I have Harold and Rhonda in the egg/egg story, whatever that episode was called, but their emotional conversation where Harold's just coming off of eating their child, and he you know, it's a, it, I mean, a weird sentiment because they play as, you know, like a husband and wife couple where they have a kid for a school project. The kid is an egg. Harold eats their child, and Ron is having a tough time with him this episode. And Harold, in a true showing of emotion and remorse, he's pleading with Rhonda to forgive him. He's so sorry for eating their child. It just, like, it's both touching and extremely funny, and definitely a moment that has stuck with me ever since I first saw that episode as a kid. For whatever reason, it's really good. It hits a specific emotional flavor that is just, I don't know, it's really rewarding. As is my second I guess until we get to top three episodes where anything goes, but I couldn't also not shout out the cowboy fellas swimming from the synchronized swimming episode of Harold, easily one of my top moments of the entire show. I needed to shout it out. You love seeing athletes produce results at the highest level, because that's what they are. They're athletes who also love cinema, and that's extremely important that that they're represented on this list at least a couple of times. And so I wanted to shout out the cowboy fellow swimming. Those are my picks, favorite character moments from season four, and I will truck this microphone over to Harry. What were your picks?
Oh, well, thank you, Cody.
Oh, jeez.
But I know I'm fine. I'm used to it. I failed to consider how the boys swimming like sits at the perfect Venn diagram overlap of movies and sports that make it a perfect sort of Cody bait. I would have included it too, but I thought it would be unfair to give it all three of our top slots. So in lieu of that, my number three is Big Patty triumphant in polishing Rhonda. One of the best uses of Big Patty in the series, I think, is when they go to the polishing school and Rhonda is expecting Big Patty to be the class's worst participant because she's not refined in the way Rhonda thinks. But in fact, Big Patty schools them all because she's just a genuinely kind, conscientious person, whereas Rhonda is not. I love that reversal of fortunes. I love that Big Patty helps her out. I love that their friendship is deepened. That is a really heartwarming part. Big Patty is one of my favorite side characters in the series. Maybe my favorite. It's up there. Number two is, of course, Miriam the Beeper Queen. As we've noted, I sadly, very sadly, was not here for that episode. But I love to see Miriam win, right? Maybe the only other pretty good part of Summer Love. But I love it whenever it's revealed that Miriam is actually like a deeply competent, driven, intelligent person with an interior life of her own. And in fact, she's just stuck in sort of a loveless marriage, as dark as maybe that is to say. I really loved seeing her sort of rise and seeing her give up that rise for the sake of Helga, even if that maybe is a strange message, but I wasn't there to speak about that, so I won't speak about it anymore. And then finally, my last character moment, maybe kind of a cop-out, but I really love Mr. Wynn's very creepy laugh at the end, where in the Headless Cabbie, they're being pursued, or they keep thinking that they're seeing parts of the story that end up being revealed as mundane. Finally, an actual cabbie comes up with what looks like a headless person in it. It's revealed to be Mr. Wynn, and he's just laughing evilly in the woods by himself in this cab, or I'm sorry, not by himself, with Ernie. For whatever reason, that's always like, we watch that episode almost every Halloween, and that always just makes me crack up. I just think it's so cute that Oscar and Mr. Wynn are out on like a moonlit cabbie stroll together in the park. And I think it's so funny that that is how they decided to explain away the evil laugh. It's a lot like using Mr. Wynn in Mr. Wynn Goes Country, just sort of revealing of that character's depths in a way that I really like. So those are my three character moments. Again, very tough to choose only three because the characters are so good. And now we're on to our final category, which I believe, Emily, you will introduce. Yes?
Yes. Dun, 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 dun. The top three episodes of season four. Cody, you're up first.
Sure thing. A lot of pressure. This is, you know, this is not an unimpeachable list, but it is. So buckle up. We're all going to have great picks, I'm sure, and some overlapping picks as well. But my first pick, going by production code order from season four, is student teacher, which I've already talked about a few times already, so I'll keep it brief. It's an episode that I love and feeds into a lot of, I think, my reading for a lot of episodes of season four, and probably will flow through to the rest of the series. And whenever I go back and rewatch these episodes, I'll probably be thinking about this episode. I'm a huge fan of the implications this episode has for the sibling relationship between Helga and Olga, as well as how that feeds into the show at large, even if those implications are a bit dark, darker than we maybe would want to get on a Nickelodeon show. But it's Hey Arnold, and you know, it's season four, you know, we know what we're getting into. So I really like student teacher. I also quite like Oscar Can't Read, which we've also talked about at length already. You know, even if it's short-lived, seeing Oscar rise to the occasion and manifest an accomplishment feels super rewarding as a viewer. Just watching him again climb that mountain feels good, even if he reverts to his classic Oscar scummery. You know, the rest of the series, he has this dub. Nobody can take that away from him. Shout outs to the cat. And finally, Helga on the Couch is my third pick for top episode of season four. It is perhaps the best episode about perhaps the show's best character. And you know, hey, think about that. I will leave it at that, and I will pass it along to Harry for his picks. Harry, what'd you come up with?
Hey, thanks, Cody. And I am just now realizing that I said that whole thing about how I didn't want to overlap with anybody on our last category, and now I have overlapped with you guys. Spoilers. But my number three pick is Back to School and Egg Story. It's been talked about a couple of times. I would just like to reiterate, this is maybe my favorite grandpa episode. Some of the funniest jokes. The spray painting Steely Phil is something I think about literally constantly in his like little leather jacket. Also, when he and Connie and Maria are going to, quote, sneak into a PG-13 movie, to which Arnold responds, Grandpa, you're 86 years old, which is one of my favorite line readings. Just a lot of really great, jokes in that one, and a great message. Egg Story, I think Cody brought up the like exact reason why I love this episode so much, which is the weirdly deeply like emotional moment that Harold and Rhonda share that made me want to see like an entire series about those two, where like Harold is just like this earnest sort of like bonehead who can't figure anything out, but he's so apologizing and he tries, and Rhonda just has to like find it in herself to forgive him. And it's like a weird metaphor for like relationships in a way that I found very affecting. So love that whole episode, especially love that part. My number two pick, maybe a surprising one, but Helga's Parrot and Chocolate Turtles. I love Helga's Parrot. I know it's kind of a weird episode. I love its unhinged energy. I think it's so sharp. I think it's so funny. I love the ending. I love that the monitor lizard eats the parrot. I love that it knocks out Simmons. I just find it like so... I find it like such an anti sort of taking itself seriously type of episode. And I think that there's just a lot of like the best like character pieces in that episode. I really love it as an episode that is all about like how blissfully uncomplicated and almost dreamlike Arnold's world is, in contrast to Helga, whose world is like a nightmare of masquerade and planning and careful sort of preparation day to day. I think that's so funny. Like, I love Helga's anxiety throughout the episode and how it makes her basically feral by the end of the episode. Chocolate Turtles is really fun as a contrast to that. I just love it when, like, we don't get that many Arnold and Gerald are just like bonehead episodes, but like that really is an episode about the boys just being sort of idiots, right? Just sort of like they have this get rich quick scheme. They try so many things to make it work out. It never works out. They end up kind of like basically pimping out Kimberly to make it work out. They receive their comeuppance. It's just a great misadventures episode. I don't like it as much as Helga's Parrot, but I like them both a lot. And then finally, don't need to waste a lot of time on this one, but Helga on the Couch. I think it's probably the best episode of Hey Arnold. So there you go. There you have it. Like, Cody had said, like, I've always been pretty unabashedly a Helga stan. She's my favorite character. This is like the codex for understanding Helga. It is the episode that maybe does more than any other episode, with the exception of something like Parents Day, where it also unlocks the entire series, where you watch Helga on the couch and you can go back and watch earlier episodes of Hey Arnold and take away new things from them. And so, like, it's so renewing in how much it makes me appreciate this series, because you watch it, and or at least I watch it, and I think, like, I can't wait to go back and watch Helga episodes again, you know, forever and ever. So that's one of my favorite episodes of the series, one of my favorite episodes of TV probably, and certainly one of the most impactful in terms of, like, my life. So there was only one answer for me there, but now we're on to Emily. Emily, what are your tops?
Yeah, I really liked Back to School, which you had mentioned, Harry. Just really fun to see Grandpa being a kid amongst other kids and having a blast. Synchronized swimming, as I mentioned. I love the cowboy fellas swimming. What else is there to say about that one? It's just a really fun episode of the series, and especially this season. I think it's super memorable. The song in it is great and just funny. Coach Wittenberg, like, pulling threads together to get these kids interested in something that they just would otherwise not be interested in at all. And yeah, their outfits are great. It's just fun. It's, as Cody said, a great crossover between a movie lover and a athlete. So yeah, love to see that one. Also, Oscar Can't Read, really, really good episode. Just what else is there to say about that one that we haven't already said? Loved talking about it, and honestly want to rewatch it kind of tonight now that we're talking about it again. So just a great episode for an unlikely character win. And then Helga on the Couch, of course, is probably just the best episode of the entire series. I love Parents Day a lot. Parents Day makes me cry a lot, too. Whereas Helga on the Couch, I can keep it together and just kind of really think through everything that they chose to show about Helga's life story. And it's super impactful, and it also just helps to normalize therapy, which is so cool to see and so progressive to see in a children's television show. So, yeah, I mean, therapy was taboo back then whenever that episode came out in the late 90s or early 2000s, and still a bit taboo, but therapy is super important, and I think anyone could benefit from it. And in particular, Helga really benefits from it in this fictional show that we love. So I think now I kick it back to Cody to wrap us up here.
Yeah, there you have it, folks. Season 4, it's in the books. Thank you, Emily and Harry, for your picks. We'll go ahead and wind down. I think we did this last year. If either of you, though, Harry, Emily, have any parting shots you want to dispense, just, you know, scattered miscellaneous thoughts about season 4. This is one of your last opportunities to do so. Season 4, it's going, almost gone. Not quite gone yet. That's another sports thing. But yeah, any other lingering thoughts, threads, shout outs before we finish this episode? Wrap up this season?
I guess I would say that I don't think we've hidden that this is not my favorite season of Hey Arnold. I think this is one of the seasons I've been most gratified to have this podcast for, kind of for the reason you talked about just now, Cody. I think that, like, season over season, I appreciate being able to talk about every episode like this more, because identifying patterns in Hey Arnold and understanding better what Hey Arnold does well and maybe not so well, and sort of analyzing what makes a great Hey Arnold episode versus what makes a Hey Arnold episode not work, is super beneficial to my understanding of why I like this series so much, which, like, it has to be said, like, really, like, helps me understand a lot about what I value, right? Like, about both media and media consumption, and also just sort of in general about, like, the lessons I want to learn, the things I want to take away from my experiences, how I want to apply those experiences and those learnings to my life. This series has been really helpful for me in doing that. And this season in particular, discussing both the ups and downs with both of you has been like a really great learning experience for me. So all that is to say, even though I think that season four of Hey Arnold is not the strongest season, I think that it speaks to how valuable the show is, that we can continue to have such great conversations about it. And I can learn so much from those conversations week by week. Right. So I'm really excited for season five in that way. And thank you so much for season four.
Yeah, same. I reiterate all of your thoughts. I think season four has quite a few misses, and we talked about them. And it was really good to have a lot of guests on this season to even further help us dissect like why something doesn't quite work, or why it doesn't land, or why it feels like a repeat of something else. But this season too, I'm just looking back at like the full list of all the episodes. And I think we also spent a lot more time with some side characters, having like center stage in this season. And that kind of made for a different energy, and was definitely good to have the podcast to talk about it and dissect all of it.
For sure. Again, season four, thanks for coming by. We've got stuff to look forward to on the horizon. And for those of you listening, thank you for tuning into this end of season recap. And if you've been keeping up with us this season and also over the past 2 years or so, I don't know, I just looked at my watch, which I know doesn't benefit anybody who's listening to this, but also I don't wear a watch, so I don't know why I did that. But it has been approximately 2 years, maybe a little more than 2 years at this point. So if you've been keeping up with us, thank you so much for doing so. Speaking only for myself for this next part here, I can definitely tend to get a little neurotic and in my head as something important to me approaches its natural conclusion. And while the end of the Hey Arnold series gets more real with each passing week, not to be, you know, a living doomsday machine or anything, I am as excited as I've ever been to continue with this endeavor with my friends here. So, you know, we've got another 20 or so episodes remaining in the series that we'll be covering. And, you know, spoilers, we do have some movies that we're contractually obligated to discuss as well. So we have those. And beyond that, I'm sure we'll find other things in the margins that we'll probably want to spend more time with over the next several months. So all that is to say, please stick with us. Season five is coming. Please keep listening, keep rating, reviewing, subscribing. If this has been hitting you in a good way, chances are there's someone or someone's out there who would feel the same way, and all that it takes for them would maybe be for them to see some positive feedback about the show. So if y'all wanted to give us some good, you know, give us some good grades, you know, hey, fourth grade school report cards, it's, you know, it's a metaphor, but that would be awesome. We would appreciate it a ton. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod, and that is kids spelled with a Z. Feel free to let us know what your favorite parts of season four were. Why not? Plug the socials. We're very socially awkward, and the mortifying ordeal of being known is something that plagues us pretty deeply, but we really do truly love reading and hearing what y'all have to say. It's extremely encouraging. So thank you, and thank you in advance, and thank you some more. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvis, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
Thanks so much, everybody. I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at StoopKidsPod.
Be safe, be respectful, and most importantly, be bold.